Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Unzip, the show where we crack open the latest AI and ML research papers and pull out everything that actually matters. Quick shout out to our sponsors, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, including their Glow compiler that turns research models into real-world inference engines. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI chips all the way to full SoC design. And Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business. Great people, great work, check them all out. Today we're unpacking five papers covering any-to-any multimodal modeling, veterinary AI on the edge, ultra-high-resolution remote sensing, faster video diffusion, and photonic transformer hardware. It's a packed one, let's get into it. All right, paper one is called MODIS, Decoder-Only, Any-to-Any Modeling of Diverse Modalities, and I genuinely think this one is going to turn some heads in the multimodal space. So let's set the scene. Any-to-any modeling is this really elegant idea where a single neural network can take in any combination of modalities, images, text, audio, whatever, and predict any other modality as output. It's the kind of unified architecture that feels like the right long-term direction for AI. The problem is, most existing approaches to this are built from scratch using encoder-decoder or diffusion architectures. And that means you're not able to leverage the incredible power that's already baked into pre-trained decoder-only language models, you know, the transformer-based autoregressive models that have basically taken over everything in the last few years. MADIS asks, what if we just used a decoder-only architecture for any-to-any multimodal modeling? Sounds simple, but it's actually a surprisingly tricky design problem. The challenge is that different modalities have wildly different structures. Images are spatial and continuous. Text is discrete and sequential. Scientific data like ecological or astronomical observations can be tabular or irregular. Getting one decoder-only model to handle all of that gracefully requires some clever thinking about tokenization, attention, and how you condition generation across modalities. What the authors find is that decoder-only architectures can absolutely work here, and they bring a huge advantage. You get to initialize from powerful pre-trained language model weights. That's like starting a race halfway to the finish line. The model learns to handle cross-modal prediction tasks, things like generating an image description from sensor data or predicting one scientific measurement type from another. And it does so with competitive or better performance compared to purpose-built encoder-decoder and diffusion-based any-to-any systems. For practitioners, this is a really meaningful result. It suggests that the next generation of multimodal pipelines might not need specialized architectures at all. If you can frame your problem as any-to-any prediction and you have access to a good pre-trained decoder backbone, MODIS gives you a framework to build on top of that. It's especially interesting for scientific domains like ecology and astronomy, which are mentioned explicitly in the paper, where multimodal data is everywhere but labeled data is scarce. The ability to leverage pre-trained priors in those settings is a big deal. And honestly, the broader implication is that decoder-only is continuing its march toward being the universal architecture. We've seen it dominate text, then text plus vision, and now it's making a serious case for any-to-any. Worth reading closely if you're working on multimodal systems. Okay, paper two comes from Archive, and it's called VetClaw, an edge cloud multimodal agentic system for veterinary disease screening. Now, this one is a bit different from the typical architecture paper. It's a full system design, and it's targeting a really concrete real-world problem. Early disease screening for animals. Veterinary care is genuinely underserved by AI right now, especially in settings where you don't have easy access to a specialist. So the motivation here is solid. VetClaw is designed as an edge cloud system, meaning part of the intelligence runs on a local device at the edge. Think a smartphone or embedded camera unit, and part of it runs on a more powerful cloud server. The edge device captures images and optionally takes in symptom descriptions from the user, like a pet owner or a field vet. That multimodal input image plus text description gets sent to a server-side vision language model, which is a type of model that can jointly reason over images and natural language for zero-shot disease classification. Zero-shot here means the model wasn't specifically trained on labeled examples of every disease. It generalizes from its pre-trained knowledge. The architectural split in VetClaw is worth paying attention to. There are two distinct components. OpenClaw handles the edge side. It manages scheduling, tool access, user interaction, and notifications. Then LangGraph, which is a framework for building stateful multi-agent workflows, handles orchestration on the back end. This separation of concerns is a smart design choice. It means the edge device stays lightweight and responsive while the heavy lifting happens in the cloud. From an ML engineering perspective, this is a nice case study in how to actually deploy a vision language model in a resource-constrained, real-time environment. The zero-shot approach is practical because you can't expect veterinary datasets to be comprehensive. There are thousands of animal species and disease presentations. Relying on the generalization capacity of a pre-trained VLM is genuinely the right call here. The broader lesson for practitioners is really about system architecture for agentic AI. The agent interaction layer and the workflow orchestration layer are separated, and that modularity makes the system much easier to maintain and extend. If you're building any kind of edge-deployed AI agent, medical, industrial, environmental, the VetClaw design pattern is worth studying. It's a clean template for how to think about splitting responsibility between edge and cloud in an agentic pipeline. Paper 3 is from Archive, and it's called Beyond Zooming: Learning Multi-Tool Visual Reasoning for Ultra-High Resolution Remote Sensing. This one tackles a problem that sounds niche, but is actually a really fundamental challenge for vision language models. What do you do when the image is absolutely enormous and the relevant details are tiny, sparse, and scattered all over the place? Remote sensing imagery, satellite and aerial images, can be city scale. We're talking images where a single scene might cover dozens of square kilometers at submeter resolution. Multimodal large language models, or MLLMs, struggle badly with this. They have fixed context windows and fixed input resolutions, so they either miss fine-grained details or lose spatial context when they try to zoom in. The natural first instinct is to give the model a zoom-in tool, let it actively inspect regions of interest at higher resolution. And the authors actually tested this on XLRS Bench, which is a benchmark specifically designed for extreme large resolution remote sensing. What they found is that zoom-in alone is only partially effective. The problem is that relevant evidence is often spatially dispersed. You might need to look at 10 different small regions across a massive image, and simple zooming doesn't give you a way to reason about how those pieces relate to each other. So instead, the paper proposes equipping MLLMs with multiple visual tools, not just zoom, but things like spatial search, region comparison, and multi-scale aggregation, and then training the model to reason about which tools to use and in what order. It's essentially teaching the model a visual reasoning strategy rather than just giving it better optics. The results on XLR's bench are strong, showing meaningful improvements over zoom-only baselines. But what I find more interesting is the conceptual framing. This paper is making the argument that for truly complex visual tasks, tool use needs to be a first-class part of the model's reasoning process, not just a bolt-on capability. That connects to a much broader trend in AI right now around agentic tool use and chain of thought reasoning. For practitioners working with satellite imagery, aerial mapping, large-scale inspection, or really any domain with gigapixel images, this paper is directly relevant. The multi-tool framework they describe could be adapted to other high-resolution vision tasks, and the benchmark XLRS Bench is worth knowing about as a rigorous evaluation framework for this class of problem. Paper 4 is called Parallel Decoding Distillation for Fast Image and Video Generation, and this one is coming at a very hot problem, making video diffusion models fast enough to actually use. If you've ever tried to generate a video with a state-of-the-art diffusion model, you know the pain it can take minutes or even longer per clip because of the iterative sampling process. Each step in diffusion requires a full forward pass through a large neural network, and video models need a lot of steps. The current best approaches to speeding this up rely on variational score distillation and adversarial losses. Distillation, in this context, means training a smaller or faster student model to mimic the output of a larger teacher model, often in fewer steps. Adversarial training uses a discriminator to push the student toward realistic outputs. The problem the authors call out is that these training objectives are notoriously hard to optimize. They're unstable, prone to mode collapse, and they tend to sacrifice diversity and motion quality. You get faster generation but blander, more static results. Parallel decoding distillation takes a different angle. Instead of distilling into a model that takes fewer sequential steps, they propose generating multiple tokens or frames in parallel during decoding. The key insight is that you can train the model to produce a good approximation of the full diffusion trajectory in a single parallel decode rather than running many sequential denoising steps. This sidesteps a lot of the instability issues with adversarial and VSD-based approaches. The results are impressive. They demonstrate fast, high-quality generation for both images and video, with better diversity and motion fidelity than the adversarial distillation baselines. And because the training is more stable, it's more accessible to practitioners, you don't need to carefully tune a discriminator or worry as much about training collapse. If you're building any kind of generative video pipeline, content creation, simulation, data augmentation for robotics or autonomous driving, this is directly relevant. Faster, more stable video generation with better motion quality is a genuine unlock for downstream applications. The parallel decoding framing is also intellectually interesting because it connects to ideas from speculative decoding in language models, which is a whole other active research area. Definitely one to read. And now for something completely different. Paper 5 is MD Transformer, a hardware-software co-design of mode division photonic transformer accelerator with inverse-designed coherent crossbar. This is a hardware paper, and I want to give it its proper due because it represents a genuinely different approach to the AI compute problem. So, photonic accelerators, quick explainer. Traditional chips use electrons to compute. Photonic chips use light photons. Light can carry information at extremely high bandwidth and with very low energy loss, which makes photonics an appealing candidate for matrix multiplication, which is basically all transformer inference is. Photonic transformer accelerators, or PTAs, have already shown significant speedups and energy efficiency gains over electronic accelerators in prior work. But existing PTAs have a problem. They rely on expensive multi-wavelength light generation, basically needing a lot of distinct laser colors to do computation, and large dot product units that use active phase shifters. Active phase shifters are components that dynamically change the phase of light to perform computation, and they're power-hungry, thermally sensitive, and hard to scale. That makes current PTAs kind of impractical for real deployment. MD Transformer addresses this with two key innovations. First, they use mode division multiplexing, MDM, instead of wavelength division multiplexing. Mode division means you're encoding different computational signals in different spatial modes of the light beam rather than different colors. This is more efficient and avoids the need for expensive multi-wavelength sources. Second, they use an inverse-designed coherent crossbar. That's an optical switching network whose physical structure is optimized computationally, using a design process called inverse design to achieve the desired mathematical operations. The hardware-software co-design aspect is important here. They're not just designing a chip, they're co-optimizing the hardware architecture together with the transformer model mapping, making sure the computation graph of transformer inference aligns well with what the photonic hardware can efficiently execute. For most ML engineers, you won't be designing photonic chips yourself, but this paper matters because it represents a serious push toward post-electronic AI hardware. As model sizes keep growing and energy costs become a bigger bottleneck, photonic accelerators could become a real option in the inference infrastructure stack. And this is exactly the kind of silicon-level innovation that companies like our sponsor Aygo Consulting and Zen Semiconductor are working to bring into practice. The co-design methodology in this paper is also a good model for how to think about algorithm hardware co-optimization more generally. All right, that's five papers, and we've covered a lot of ground today, from unified multimodal architectures to veterinary AI to satellite imagery reasoning to fast video generation to photonic computing. The through line across all of these is actually pretty clear. AI is pushing outward in every direction simultaneously. New modalities, new deployment environments, new hardware substrates, new efficiency frontiers. Exciting time to be in this field. Huge thanks to our sponsors, Ada, for making production AI deployment real with the Glow compiler and their full inference platform. Aygo Consulting, Aygo, for expert silicon development from AI accelerators to full SOT design. And Zen Semiconductor, whose portfolio spans the silicon industry and includes Ada, for bringing research-grade AI into scalable production. Go check them out. Links are in the show notes. If you enjoyed today's episode, definitely check out AI Special Report, another show in the Ada Podcast Network, great for staying on top of the bigger picture trends in the AI industry alongside the deep technical dives we do here on Unzip. Links to all five papers are in the show notes, as always. If this show is useful to you, please subscribe and leave a rating. It genuinely helps other researchers and engineers find us. See you next time on Unzip.